What is prayer? Does it work? Are there different ways to pray? Is there really any benefit to praying? Why is prayer so difficult? There are many questions we ask regarding the subject of prayer. Today we talk about the spiritual discipline of prayer and how this discipline can transform our lives. It's right here, right now, only on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. Well, good morning. It's wonderful to be with you on our final episode for the first season of the Five Gifts Podcast. It's Monday morning for us, just two more days before 2025 is upon us. We want to wish you a happy new year filled with growing faith. We're using these final two episodes of the season to perhaps help you prepare not only for the new year, but also some renewed habits in private devotion and prayer. And we're reviewing a couple approaches that that we use. But we're excited to be with you. And Charles, tell me what life is like for you with 2 days left in 2024.
Well, life is good. We just completed our Christmas cruise. And so we're back and we're safe and doing good. Had a great time. And just looking forward to a phenomenal, phenomenal 2025. How about you, Bruce? What's going on for you?
Yeah, just on the heels of a very fulfilling Christmas season, I'm looking forward to a new year. I'm looking forward to some of the challenges that are ahead, challenges to meet with faith and to step forward and just believe what God's going to do in our church and what God is going to do with the fivegifts.org. We're excited about not only our podcast, but some other doors that have been opened to us. And it just seems to be an exciting time. I know in our lives, but I think in the kingdom of God, I believe the Lord is moving and I believe the harvest is still plentiful. So we're believing for laborers to be raised up. And Charles, we've had such a wonderful privilege over the last year and a half to begin some ministry that I think is going to impact the harvest around the world. Of course, not all of it, but just the part of it that I think the Lord is putting before us to pray about and to impact as we follow him through open doors. So I'm excited to see what new doors might be opening for us.
Absolutely. You know, this whole process of discerning and seeing and looking for the new ground, the new opportunities that God is laying before us in this ministry is a process of prayer. It is bathed in prayer. And certainly you and I have been praying and are praying and will continue to pray as God opens new opportunities for us to find him in those doors of opportunity and to follow him through those doors. But it all begins in prayer and it is bathed, it is saturated in prayer. And that's what we're talking about today is the spiritual discipline of prayer. You know, I've heard it said that if we want to be in the presence of Jesus, then we engage in private devotion, private worship, which we talked about last week. But if we want the power of God active and evident in our life, then it is a spiritual discipline of prayer that releases us into the power of Christ. And so we want to talk about prayer today. Because prayer works. You know, we asked the question in the opening, does prayer work? Prayer absolutely works. And so we're going to talk a lot about prayer today. And so with that, let me just ask the first question to you, Bruce. What would you say is the definition of praying scripture? Any thoughts or ideas about that?
Sure. There are many forms of prayer, but I think praying scripture is a great companion to mm-hmm. private devotions, which we talked about last week, because it responds directly to God's word. Praying scripture allows us to engage deeply with the text of scripture, where we listen for personal messages from the Holy Spirit. God is directing toward us. Last week you did such a masterful job talking about the SOAP method. And, you know, in the SOAP method, observation is important. And so when you're asking questions about the text you're reading, like what are some of the promises that are here? What's the character of God that I'm seeing in this passage? What are some sins I need to confess? What are some things that relate to application? You know, how does this apply to me? I think when you begin to look at Scripture in that vantage point, you're setting yourself up to listen more focused on maybe what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. So when certain words or verses stand out in that kind of observation, they become invitations to connect with God through prayer. Sometimes our prayers can feel like we're trying to keep control of life. You know, maybe we're presenting our plans to God and pushing our agenda in His direction. But when we pray Scripture, it helps us to return to a place of simplicity and openness. And instead of focusing on our agenda, we allow the prayers that we form as we read the Bible to guide us. It shifts us from trying to steer the conversation to more listening, more attentively to what God might be saying. I think that's an important feature because in a prayer, we think about what we say, but you know, praying Scripture is also listening to what God is saying to us through the Scripture. You know, I think for some people, praying Scripture has been reciting the Bible, maybe restating passages of the Bible, maybe in a personalized way. But when we talk about praying Scripture, we're not talking about merely reciting the Bible. I like to think of it as praying through the lens of Scripture, or maybe the pattern of Scripture, where the Holy Spirit begins to align our praying with the revelation of God's character. And not only His character, but I think His present activity. It can also include praying particular prayers, looking at the Psalms, looking at some of the Apostle Paul's prayers. They become patterns for us to look and to see not only what is the activity of God in this passage, what is the nature of God revealed in this passage, but also what are some attitudes that we should embody when we pray. So I think as we look at not only Scripture, but prayers as they're listed in Scripture, just to use those as a way of guiding how we pray. Praying Scripture invites the Holy Spirit to not only shape my faith, but my understanding of God's present activity in my day-to-day life. Jesus did this. I think of the greatest example of praying Scripture is to look at Jesus and this relationship that He had with the Father. John chapter 5, verse 19 is that familiar passage where Jesus says, you know, the Son doesn't do anything of Himself. He only sees what the Father is doing. And that's what He does. He says, I see what the Father does, and whatever He does, the Son does that in like manner. And so Jesus taking His cues from what He sees, what He hears from the Father, I think that's a way to think about how we pray, looking for the activity of God. And then, you know, Jesus also says in John chapter 12, verse 49, He says, I don't speak on my own authority. It's the Father who has spoken to me. He's commanded me. He's guided me. He's instructed me. And so what I'm simply saying what the Father is saying. And so when we pray Scripture, we're focused on those two things. What do we see God doing, and what do we hear Him saying? And then we begin to put that in the language of prayer. And we ask God to do the things that we see Him doing, to act in a way consistent with His nature, His agenda, His will. And so, you know, I think this is important, Charles. When we talk about praying Scripture, we're talking about having a robust private devotional life. These are companions. They work together. And so, you know, we talked last week about how important it was to listen to the Word, hearing the Word, that Lectio Divina. Well, in the early centuries of the church, believers were taught to pray the Scriptures. They were taught to pray what they heard. And so since the Bible is you know, divinely inspired. We're absolutely, you know, convinced of that. That's a conviction that we share, that the Bible is God's word. And so because of that, we believe that we're praying God's agenda, God's will. Scripture deeply connects us to the mind and the heart and the activity of God. And so as Scripture in the early church was repeatedly prayed, it became memorized. That was a great device for not only hearing the word, but in an illiterate culture, as you begin to repeat what you heard, you begin to hide God's word in your heart. And so praying Scripture is a wonderful way of integrating Scripture with your inner life. And so again, I think that's vitally important. And because you have that resource of Scripture on the inside of you, it's constantly available to you. And you'll find that those other moments of life outside of maybe designated times in your private devotions, you know, I don't know about you, but I find that my need for God does not follow my private devotional schedule. But because of the resource of His Word in my life and my heart, then it becomes a content of my conversation with Him and other points of the day where I genuinely need Him to speak to me, to guide me. And so, again, I think that those are some of the benefits of praying Scripture.
Isn't that amazing, Bruce, that you touched on a powerful principle that Scripture memorization, hiding the Word of God in our heart, is so critical to prayer, because, like you said, spiritual formation and my need for God is not on a time clock. It's not on the first or second shift. It is, I'm always in desperate need of God, and in those moments of where life just comes out of left field and surprises you, it's in those moments where the memorized Word of God, now that begins to be the prayer guide. It's not, I'm searching, I'm looking, what do I do now? What do I pray now? It is the Word of God that's hidden, that's been deposited in my life, and that has helped form me up as a disciple. It's that memorized Scripture that becomes the prayer guide now. That begins to inform my prayer and my praying and my crying out to God, my dependency upon the Lord. It's not some kind of a last minute, just Hail Mary pass into the end zone, last ditch effort. Lord, I hope you answer my prayer. It is a biblically informed, even in moments of crisis, even in moments of those suddenly moments, unexpected moments, even in those times. Now my prayer is a deeply biblically formed cry out to God, because it's coming from the memorized Word of God that happened in personal devotions that now facilitates this substance of deeply biblically formed prayer life. I just thought that was powerful that you hit on that. And,
well, too, you know, Charles, as we talked about, again, I can't emphasize enough how important it is to think about private devotions and praying Scripture together. Mm-hmm. And of course, it fits with the SOAP model that you shared with us last week. That final part of that private devotional method is about praying. It's about connecting with the Scriptures and praying. So, one method that we use when we pray Scripture is the use of prayer models. Yeah. So Charles, I know over the years you've become quite proficient. You would be the one I would turn to think about how to form a prayer model from our devotional reading. So can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Well, thank you for your kind words. I'm questioning your judgment now, if you're going to turn to me for anything, but thank you. You know, when we began to write prayer models, again, that form and that guide our praying, you know, it's not kind of the shotgun approach where we just kind of spray and just throw it up against the wall and see what sticks. This is more of a rifle precision approach to prayer, a focused, concentrated approach. So when we think about that, we want to have something that's guiding us, that's focusing our prayers. And so we use what we call prayer models. And again, we use prayer models in our personal prayer lives. I use prayer models in leading my family in prayer and leading the church in prayer. It's just really a nice way to focus the individual or the group, to keep one or to keep a group focused in the matters of prayer. So what does a prayer model look like, and how do we arrive at a prayer model? So again, in that, let's use that SOAP model that you referenced. Again, the S was scripture, O observation, and we said the observations were those things that Holy Spirit illuminates for us that really leap off the pages of scripture. Pay attention to those things, as Bruce, you've already instructed us. Pay attention to those thoughts and those ideas, those observations that leap off the pages of scripture. And those can really inform now our praying, those observations. So we can take a list of observations and begin to pray those things. And now that begins to inform our praying. It begins to guide, it begins to focus how we are praying. Those observations, those applications really become the prayer points now of our prayer model. Another way to use a prayer model is we talked briefly about the revelation and request. What a wonderful expression of a prayer model. This construct of revelation and request. And so as we come to scripture, you've already mentioned John 5:19. Jesus says, I'm only gonna the Pharisees are trying to get Jesus to act and behave and do according to their agenda, according to their design. And Jesus he's flipped the script on them and has tongue lashed them with some ferocious intensity, and has says, no, I'm not going to go your way. In John 5:19, he says, I'm only going to do what I see my Father do. And so what that scripture has really become a life verse for me, especially in regards to prayer, because what that teaches me is that if I will say what Jesus is praying, if I will go where Jesus is going, if I will do what Jesus is doing, then I get to participate in what Jesus is blessing. And so we begin to use revelation and request to form up a prayer model that helps us pray and live by this John 5:19 principle, if you will, of only doing, the Spirit leads us to Jesus. Jesus says, I'm only doing what the Father's doing. So it snaps us into alignment with the divine work of God. And so now we're doing we're following the model of Christ. We're saying, we're doing, we're going, we're living in the manner that the Father is leading us. And so we get to participate now in what God is blessing. So as we form up prayer models, we don't just kind of arbitrarily pluck scriptures out of context and begin to pray that. We begin to look for what is the activity of Christ. What is Jesus saying? What is Jesus doing? Because he's doing what the Father's doing. We know that if we can identify the activity of Christ, then we know that God is in it. Jesus has already said he's only doing what what he sees the Father doing. So what is the activity of Christ in your personal life, in the life of your family, in the life of the church, and that segment of the church that you're leading? What is Jesus doing? And some people would say, well, you know what, Charles, I'm in such a bad place. Jesus not doing anything. I don't see the activity of God anywhere in my life. And listen, I empathize. I've felt those same sentiments. I have said those same words. It's so bad. God's not in anything in my life. He has left the building. He's nowhere to be found. But that's just not the case. What is the truth of that is that I'm not looking for the activity of Christ. And so what that in the practical sense, what that looks like is this. When I'm preparing to go buy a car, a new vehicle for my family, I've picked out the model and the style and the color that I want, and it's a certain shade of blue that nobody else is driving, but I know that they offer it, and that's what I want, because I want to be unique and different. I want to drive something nobody else is driving, and so I go to the car dealership and I buy that vehicle, and I take a ride out of the parking lot, and I take that ride. There's a stoplight, so I've got to stop at the red light, and I look to my left, and what do you know? There's the same model, same style, same shade of blue car that I just bought sitting to my left and sitting to my right. There's one behind me. Where did this custom color that nobody else is supposed to be driving, where did it come from? And it's not that it just appeared. It's that I wasn't looking for it before. But now that I own it, now that I bought it, I'm looking for it. And I began to see that this... everybody else in the world, it seems like, is driving the same car that I'm driving now. It's because I'm looking for the activity of Christ. And so when we approach prayer, we want to encourage you to look for the activity of Jesus. And now what Christ is actively doing in your life, in the life of the church, where has he done that in Scripture? Where's Jesus done that? Where is that in the record of Scripture? Where's the activity of God taking place? And so I begin to go there. And so again, it's not that I'm ripping scriptures off the pages. I'm identifying Christ's activity in my life. And now I'm going to Scripture, and I'm finding where he acted in the same manner. Where is God, the way that he's revealing himself in my life, where has he revealed himself that way in Scripture? And so I go to Scripture, and now I began to use this model of revelation and request. So God is revealing himself to be healer in whatever portion of Scripture it is that I'm reading. God's saying he's revealing himself. I'm a healer, and so I began to thank him. I began to praise him. I spend time there, praising God for who he is. This is the theology. This is, well, Charles, I'm not a theologian. Yes, you are. You can identify who God is. This is who God says he is. This is how God is revealing himself in the record of Scripture. So we're praising God. We're spending some time here in prayer, worshiping Jesus, thanking Jesus. God, you're a God who heals. Thank you that you've healed my life. And I just begin to praise God for how he's touched me, how he's healed family members and friends, how he's healed people in the church and the community. I just begin to praise God that he's revealed himself in Scripture as a healer. And I begin to praise him that he is a God who still is healing. And I thank him for his healing power. And because God is who he says he is, I have confidence, and I have boldness now. And I have faith that I can make requests. I can ask God to act out of his revealed nature. Listen, if God says this is who I am, then I'm going to have faith to boldly ask God to act I want to make requests. He act out of his revealed nature. And so, God, if it's true that you, in Scripture, you were a healer, and it seems to me that you're in my life, your activity is that you're healing now. God, I'm asking you with boldness, with all the faith that I have, be a healer in my life. Be a healer in this situation in the community. Be a healer in the life of this family in the church. In the same way that you revealed yourself in Scripture, God, I'm asking you boldly, confidently, reveal yourself in this situation as well. Yeah. Be a healer in this moment. Doctors can't do it, God, but you can. You are the great physician. And so I've identified this is where Christ seems to be working in the church that I'm leading. There seems to be, the Lord seems to be healing. And if he's healing in the church, then I believe God wants to heal through the church into the community. And so I'm beginning to pray. I'm beginning to write a prayer model of Lord, this seems to be what you're doing here. This is where you've done it in Scripture. You healed Lazarus. You've raised Lazarus from the dead. And so, Lord, I praise you that you're a God who heals. I praise you that you're a God who brings dead things to life, and that you restore new things, that you resurrect new things, that you revitalize those things that are without life, that you bring things that are lifeless to life again. I praise you. And we spend time there in the revelation, yeah, thanking God for who he is. And now, God, I ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, for families in this church, God, we ask you, bring those things that are without life, bring them to life again, breathe new life into them. And you begin to, with confidence and with faith and with boldness, declare the healing characteristic and the healing nature of God over your personal life and over your family and over the church and over the community. And I've got to calm down, Bruce. I'm getting ready. I'm getting lathered up. Man, I love this kind of praying. Mm-hmm. But it's the revelation of who God is, and now it's the request that he act out of who he's of his revealed nature. And we began to declare the great physician. God is our healer. We began to declare the will of God, that his will is to heal us. It is to heal broken situations and to heal broken people and to heal dysfunction. And so we begin to create and write prayer models. What are we doing? We're doing John 5:19.
Yeah.
We're doing what we see the Father do. And again, I'm telling you, if we say what Jesus is saying, if we go where he's going, do what he's doing, we get to participate in what he's blessing. And this kind of praying, these prayer models, it aligns us with the activity of Christ. It begins with the activity of Christ. And if we have the understanding that Jesus is only doing what the Father's doing, we identify Christ's activity in our life. Now we begin to pray the activity of Christ. We begin to declare the activity of God. And we align ourselves to that. We're in alignment and in agreement with the divine work and nature of who God is and what he desires to do and what he is presently and actively doing in this earth, and we get to participate in what he's blessing. So,
amen.
That's a helicopter view of prayer models sprinkled in with a little Pentecostal preaching, sermonizing. So,
Charles, I couldn't help but think when you were talking about prayer models and how we pray Scripture in that fashion. Jesus prays in John 17. Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And I think of, because the word sanctify means to be set apart for God, for his purpose. I can't help but think that when we pray Scripture, we're stepping into that. We're stepping into his activity. We're stepping into the uniqueness of his calling and purpose, because we're immersing ourselves in the word. We're immersing ourselves in his activity, his revelation. Yeah. The word of God is living. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It has power. And I think that when we stay in the word as his disciples and we're actively praying it, we're participating in his agenda and his plan. And it is exciting. We're not asking God to bless our ventures. We're stepping into what he wants to bless.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not asking Jesus to come and bless what we're doing. I like the way you said that. It is us fully engaged in the life of Christ, fully submitted to the life of Christ, and asking him to help us as we join him in what he's doing. We're not trying to create anything. We are discerning. We are discerning the activity of God, and we are joining him in the activity of God. And so, absolutely. So with all that being said, and what does a healthy prayer life look like? We've talked about prayer models. We've talked about kind of the process of that. So what does a healthy prayer life look like?
For me, I think consistency. I think when you take an intentional approach to say that my devotional time is including time where I'm listening to the Lord and praying out of his will and agenda, I think it's important to be as intentional about that as possible. I'm just thinking of I'm asking my church this year at a minimum to take private devotions 5 out of 7 days, but in that private devotional time, we've actually outlined a way to spend at least 15 minutes in scripture and 15 minutes in prayer. Mm-hmm. And that 15 minutes in prayer builds off that 15 minutes of time in scripture. And so we're asking them to be observant, to listen to what the Lord is showing us and saying to us, and be able to pray in response to that. Again, I think it's about being intentional. And I tell you what, the more intentional I am, the more focused I am. Mm-hmm. So I think intentionality is certainly part of that. That when I come to the scriptures, I know that I'm going to be engaging with it prayerfully. I think, to me, that's a great first step. How about you?
Yeah, absolutely. Intentionality is key. I think another word is just consistency. I like what you're doing 5 out of 7 days. We don't have to read the whole Bible the first day, but consistently 5 out of 7 days over the course of a year, man, a lot of ground can be covered, and God can do, God can accomplish a lot in 5 out of 7 days over the course of a year, over the course of a lifetime. So I think intentionality and consistency are a combination it's a powerful combination for sure.
Amen. So Charles, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Bruce.
No, I was just thinking, as we think about praying scripture, mm-hmm. what can that begin to look like in our lives?
Yeah. So as we think about praying scripture, meditating on scripture, interacting with God around the revelation in its narratives, in the different passages of scripture. So praying scripture looks like meditating on scripture. It sounds like listening to the Holy Spirit and lingering at those spaces and those places for reflection that the biblical stories allow. Listen, it's not just for our entertainment, and there are phenomenal stories in scripture. But there are pauses and there are breaks in those stories that really allow for powerful times of reflection. Take advantage of those times. A third quality or characteristics of praying scripture: listening for the questions that Jesus puts to his disciples, as if he were actually putting those questions to you or to me. I'm quick. I was going to say we're quick, but I'm quick to kind of condemn the disciples sometimes and say, look, you not heads, don't you hear Jesus? Don't you understand the questions he's asking? But in those moments of kind of my judgment and pointing the finger, maybe a better exercise is for me to say, All right, Charles, turn that question towards you, because not only is he asking his disciples, but as a disciple, he's asking me the same question. And so instead of being judgmental, maybe joining the disciples and trying to answer and wrestle and grapple with these questions of life change that Christ is asking and then and leading them through. Another thing to consider would be placing my name in the place of the you pronouns. Again, making this a personal exercise, putting myself in the story of Scripture, putting myself in these passages of Scripture where there's a you pronoun, placing my name there. That changes the dynamic of praying Scripture. It really becomes a personal exercise then. And then lastly, will be letting David or the other psalmists, people like Daniel, Paul, Mary, Jesus, and others throughout Scripture, allowing them to mentor us through their recorded prayers. So listen, there's nothing wrong with taking recorded prayers in Scripture and beginning to adopt those as our prayers. Listen, if we find people who are experiencing challenges that we're experiencing, take their prayer. Because the same way that God helped them, God can help us as well. And so using those recorded prayers in Scripture, another element of praying Scripture. So Bruce, as we practice, as we grow in these attributes of praying Scripture, what kinds of growth can we see in our lives through the exercise, the act of praying Scripture?
Yeah, we talked so much about the observant side of looking at the Scriptures and mm-hmm. and discerning what's the activity of God, what's the character of God. I think it just stands that one of the ways you're going to grow as you pray Scriptures, you're going to learn to follow the Holy Spirit. You're going to learn to let the Holy Spirit lead you when you pray. And so you're thinking that through Scripture and what I discern and what I hear and as I interact with it, well, the Holy Spirit is shaping up a way for us to pray, things to ask God for, things to praise God for. I think that's the exciting part of getting into praying Scripture, is that we're moving in that rhythm. You call it revelation or request or praise or thanksgiving and mm-hmm. asking. And so that the Holy Spirit is able to help guide, inform, and build that up, the content of how we pray. Number two, growing in our love for God and His Word. Just think there comes a deeper appreciation. You'll find that studying the Scripture can be energizing, but seeing God active in the Scripture and coming to fresh illumination. I would say revelation, but I think it might just be the Holy Spirit illuminating, helping us to see things that are there that maybe we haven't seen before. And so I think when you come to Scripture with a prayerful posture, then I think you're coming to a place where you're beginning to let your inner man begin to get around the features and the facets and the depth of Scripture. So, you know, growing in your love for God and His Word, I think, is definitely an outflow of that. I think recognizing God's activity in your life and following His lead. That's what we're really about in private devotions. It's not simply building up the content of information, the knowledge of the Word. It's really beginning to see yourself at the center of God's activity. And we believe that you are a locus of where God is wanting to work. He's wanting to work in your world through you. He's wanting to work in your community through your church. He's wanting to work in your world. And so we think of being a person active in your private devotions is a good first step for God to begin to release His activity through you. So again, recognizing God's activity in your life and following His lead, that's going to be one of the points of maturity, I think, as you learn to pray Scripture. Number four, I would say allowing the biblical story to give voice and action to some things that you're experiencing, some needs that you have, some desires that God is beginning to form in you, and feelings. And, you know, because the Word of God is active, and it's incredible to recognize that somehow in God's timing and His sovereignty and in His mind, that the very moment that you happen to be reading a particular passage, isn't it interesting that you can be reading in that passage at just the right moment? It was on a card, it was on a Bible reading plan, but you came to that passage at just the right time. That has happened with me so many times. It's probably a great apologetic for me in my own experience to believe in that there's a God active in my life and my world, because he's able to keep those appointments. And so you'll find that the Bible speaks into your life. It speaks to things in your life. And so when you begin to turn that around into the language of prayer, you begin to make those connections that God is active in my world. He's active in me. And he's wanting to attend some of the needs in my life, some of the desires that I have, and refine and build those. And then number five, you know, inviting God's activity into my life. It's just how Scripture touches, it confronts, it corrects, it convicts, it challenges me. You know, the Scripture will read my mail. It will expose some things in me that the Holy Spirit is wanting to begin to root out, and some of the less pleasant parts of me. But I think as you give yourself to that kind of honesty and prayer, then the Holy Spirit has a way of doing that. Number six, releases. I find the releasing and the aligning of my agenda with God's agenda. You know, Jesus says when we pray, ask for the kingdom, ask for the will of God to be done. Well, you know, that kingdom and that will sometimes cuts against the grain of my will and my kingdom. And so I have to find myself bending more toward what does the Lord want to do? What does he want to initiate? What's his agenda? Number seven, I think there's a maturing in how we slow down our Scripture reading to a pace that serves listening and discerning. Again, not just content grabbing, not just gathering information, but really bringing me to a place where I'm retelling the Scripture when I pray, and it's contextualized in me. It's bringing the Word of God into my skin, into my flesh, into my heart, into my language, and having that kind of conversation with God. And so, again, that listening, discerning just comes alive when I pray the Scripture. And then lastly, I think Scripture becomes more personal because I begin to see myself in the midst of God's activity. And as I take part in that, I'm finding a life of increasing dependence and guidance from the Lord. And if we started out talking about that Jesus lived his life doing what he saw the Father doing, speaking what he heard the Father speaking. And I think the more we give ourselves to that, the more available we are to God's purpose, the more fruitful we are in God's plan. And I think the more mature, the more Christ-like we ultimately become. So Charles, those are about eight points. I think it was eight, but we may have to go back and have someone count those up.
Well, eight powerful points that serve us well in our praying Scripture and growing in our prayer life and in this discipline of prayer. It's so fundamental and it's so basic to our understanding of Christianity and following Christ. That sometimes we're quick to dismiss prayer, or even last week in private devotions, because it's so basic and fundamental, but it is absolutely that. It is fundamental to our growth and development, and in a thriving relationship with Christ. So don't skip out on prayer, and don't relegate it to some neglected corner of your life. Let 25 be a year where you elevate and you lift prayer to the forefront, to the center of what, not only what you're doing, but of what Jesus is doing in your life and through your life. I keep going back to John 5:19, but I think that really highlights the importance of prayer and the linchpin that prayer is in the life of a believer. Jesus saying, look, I'm only going to do what I see the Father doing. This world, this culture, every facet of culture has an expectation, an idea of who you should be and what your life should be about. But leader, can I just encourage you, go back to the fundamental. Go back to the fundamental of prayer and only do what you see the Father doing. Allow John 5:19 to form who you are as an intercessor, as a person of prayer, and say what Jesus is saying, go where he's going, do what he's doing, because he's doing what he sees the Father doing. And in the end, you'll get to participate in what Jesus is blessing. So that's what we're praying for you. Not just in the last week of this year, but for the fullness of 2025, that you'll get to participate in what Jesus is blessing.
Amen.
Well, Bruce, any final words as we close out a great and fabulous 2024?
Yeah, well, not just closing out 2024, but closing our first season of the Five Gifts podcast. Yeah. Well, I have been blessed to be part of this. It's been as energizing for me as almost anything in my life, and so I'm quite excited to start a new season, and we appreciate people coming along with us on this journey, because as you tune in every week, you're getting some updates on how the Lord is working through us and what the open doors we're seeing him open. So if there's any way that we can help you out, we want to do that. We're not just here to be a couple of talking heads. We're quite adept at interacting with you and believing that God has a way for us to minister, maybe in some things that you're walking through in your church. And so we want to be that resource for you constantly. And you may get all the help you need from this podcast, but if there's any way we can help you with a more personalized touch, then, you know, we're certainly available for that.
Absolutely. Well, hey, it's been a great first season and a great first year. We're looking forward to all the great things to come in 25. Thanks for joining us today here on the Five Gifts podcast. Please remember to like, to follow, to subscribe, to share. Help us get the word out about what God's doing through the Five Gifts podcast. Remember, our new website, fivegifts.org. Go check it out. All the wonderful things that are happening, how you can be involved in what God's doing in and throughout the nations with us at fivegifts.org. You can reach out to Bruce at coachingcardia.com. He'll be a tremendous asset to you, to your growth and development. So you can find him there. You can get in touch with me at charlesrussellministries.com, charlesrusselltraining.com. Either of those websites, you can reach out to me. And we will see you in the new year next week, right here, only on the Five Gifts podcast.
You've been listening to the Five Gifts podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments to give you a better grasp of your leadership style, and we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.